I'm Rebecca Valli. This is 10 minutes of news in Hong Kong. The founder of major home appliances company GOM will be trialed this week for insider trading. Huang Guangyu, once mainland's richest man, was arrested in 2008 and accused of having manipulated the stock market. Lawyers in Beijing think that the charges could result in a sentence up to 15 years. Hong Kong's airport is still in a chaotic stage, with weathermen still uncertain as to when the volcanic ash cloud over European skies will clear up. Passengers waiting for their cancelled flight to be restored pile up. Our correspondent Yoye Olsen is at the airport right now. Yoye, what's the situation like?
Well, as you can imagine, the airport is totally stuck. Lots of people came here this morning to check the status of the flight. Unfortunately, many carriers have cancelled their scheduled flights for most of Europe. The airport authority, though, had just announced a few minutes ago that some routes to Paris, Toulouse, Frankfurt, Munich and Amsterdam have resumed. Passengers should check online or call the companies before coming here. Tonight there will be a review of the situation and it will be decided which plane will fly after midnight.
It seems like the situation is massively complicated. Airlines will probably have a hard time organizing their flights even after the routes are all restored. How are they going to deal with that?
There is indeed a mass of customers expecting to depart as fast as possible. I have talked to businessmen who need to return to their offices in Europe and they are quite distressed. But priority will be given to overseas students studying in the UK or children flying alone on planes. Cathay Pacific said they would not accept any bookings before May 10, and I suspect there will be a common policy for other air carriers as well. One passenger I talked to earlier told me that it's best to wait a few more hours or days rather than having to fight the ash cloud at 50,000 feet above ground.
That is good to hear. I can imagine that this halt is creating other problems as well.
Yes, after all, European skies have been almost completely closed for 4 days. Airlines and other travel industry sectors are facing a huge bill. It has been estimated that the European travel industry had already lost $1.5 billion in cancelled flight and hotel rooms and other expenses. Here in Hong Kong, the Arts Center has scheduled a film screening with the American Film Institute. They had to postpone some events because guests could not make it on time. In the restaurant industry, the concern is when fresh supplies from Europe will be able to get to the kitchens. Plenty of restaurants had to review their menus.
Too bad for those fine cuisine lovers, I guess. Thanks to Yoye Olsen for his account of the latest from Hong Kong's airport. The giant cloud of ash stemmed from a violent eruption of an Icelandic volcano last week. Since then, Europe's airspace has been in large part obstructed. We will keep you updated on the developments as the day unfolds. China announced a national day of mourning on Wednesday to commemorate the victims of the Qinghai earthquake. Flags will be flown at half-mast in front of public offices and consulates, and a national memorial service will be held. The 6.9 magnitude quake hit Yushu County, a Tibetan area of Qinghai province, last week, leaving more than 2,000 dead and 200 missing. Hong Kong homes are the least affordable among the world's major cities, according to a study by a U.S. consultancy. The survey ranked Hong Kong homes as severely unaffordable, together with London, Sydney, and New York. According to the study, it takes an average of 10 years of income to buy a flat here. The improv musical Showstopper opened up in Hong Kong last night. The UK-based ensemble of performers rocked the audience with a two-hour-long show improvised on the spot. Andy Burt, a musical director who came to see the show, said he was surprised by the actors' superb ability to be fast on their feet.
It's fascinating to be watching stuff that you know they can't possibly be rehearsed, and yet it's coming together. They're not only talented, but they're also very bold. They've switched off the little inner voice that says, oh no, I can't say that, I've got to find something funnier or more interesting. They come out with the first thing, and that's what delights us, because it looks as if it's rehearsed.
Music.
expression of fair trade has gained recognition around the world as a sustainable trading paradigm. It advocates that producers in the developing world should be paid a fair amount for their products. Fair trade companies aim to import quality goods from poorer countries and facilitate producers' involvement with the company's management. In Hong Kong, fair trade is still at its early stage, yet organizers and fair trade enthusiasts are betting on it. Rebecca Valli has the story.
I am Julius Efangatha, and I am Cafe Direct.
Yo soy Nino González, productor de cacao, Cafe Direct.
My name's
Anne McCaig, CEO of Cafe Direct, one of the largest fair trade company in the world, is showing her Hong Kong audience a promotional video. On the screen, a string of faces. Producers from different African and South American countries.
Yo soy Angelica Herrera, I am Cafe Direct.
I am Joseph John Philip Tesha, I am Cafe Direct.
McCaig, in Hong Kong for the third edition of Fair Trade Fair, offers the example of Cafe Direct to prove it is possible to make a difference.
I actually believe that in the UK we will very soon have acceptance that paying a minimum price to a producer of any kind of agricultural product in a developing country is just a basic way to do business. Being small is great, actually, so be really proud of it.
Fair trade in Hong Kong consists of a couple dozen retailers, individual businesses whose products are in part or completely fair trade. I am standing at the Star Ferry Pier in Central. The music you hear comes from a small stage set up on one side of this open area. On the other side, stalls selling handicrafts from Cambodia, coffee from Ghana, tea from the mainland, and much more. Josh Budgeby is the project manager of the Crossroad Foundation.
I came into fair trade by accident. When I finished my business degree, I came out to help a local charity here. And after I had been here a little while, I was asked to help with this little project that was called Fair Trade. And the more I learned about fair trade, the more I discovered I loved it.
Crossroad sells products from 34 different developing countries.
Hong Kong's consumers are advanced not only in their understanding of brands, but also in their willingness to pay for what truly has good value in the grander scheme of things. So the challenge for us is to convince people, to educate people, how fair trade has that long-term impact and is the right decision to make. Not just another decision to make, but it's the right decision to make.
Worldwide renowned non-profit organizations, including Oxfam, have operated here since the 50s. But it was only from the past few years that campaigns in Hong Kong became regular. Hong Kong-based groups, fairs, and conferences started to bloom. In 2008, Hong Kong Fair Trade was set up. Pui Fung Long, director of Hong Kong Fair Trade, used to work as a trade policy expert in Oxfam. Along the way, she realized that advocating better deals for producers was not enough.
After seeing that we can, as a separate enterprise, we can make fair trade products available in Hong Kong. So when people actually convinced that they wanted to support fair trade, they can find some of the products. And that's how me and also some of my ex-colleagues started Fair Trade back in 2004.
Ms. Long thinks that consumers in Hong Kong have always been attracted to two aspects of products, cheap prices and brand names. Their attitude, however, is shifting. The financial crisis and food safety issues pushed for a change in the picture.
It's really a kind of awakening. People started to know more about the stories at the back of the products. What is happening in the system with our consumption behavior? Gradually, people are more aware of the ethical side of the products, say for example, the labor condition, the chemicals that you're using, the food security of it.
The experience of Cafe Direct shows that Fair Trade has become a recognizable brand in the UK. Hong Kong fair trade advocates are convinced that it may soon happen here as well. Rebecca Valley reporting from the JMSC. Minutes of news in Hong Kong is over. Thank you for listening.